This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Thursday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Technology Thursday. Imagine an all-electric, hands-free Ford Mustang. We'll also talk to the mayor of Orland Park, pushing back against Governor Pritzker's restrictions, allowing some businesses to reopen differently than what the governor is demanding. Right now, joining us to talk about the jobless claims data and the overall U.S. economy is Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. You can find him online at andrewbush.com. Andy, always good to have you on the show. 1.5 million, obviously, it's a big number, but kind of give us some context here based on what we've seen over the last couple of months.
Yeah, it's not as good as what most people were hoping for. We had seen some significant declines over the last couple of weeks. This one declines, you know, a really small amount. I think it was like 50,000 or something from last week. So, you know, this points to improvement, but really not enough. And really what the focus is in most of the marketplace is looking at is not now. We're seeing some good things happening now, but whether or not this is going to continue throughout the summer and into the fall. And that's the question. You know, we've got a lot of uncertainty whether or not we're going to see the Paycheck Protection Program be enhanced or, you know, put out for longer periods of time, whether or not unemployment insurance is going to be extended for that extra $600 beyond July. There's just a lot of uncertainty here. And the numbers today are mixed, definitely. The Philadelphia Fed number was a really good one, though, and I think that's where we're getting some hope.
What's the challenge in the fact that there's a lot of these people who've been laid off who are just not going back to work? I mean, some of them think, okay, I'm furloughed, I'm going back, but the fact is a certain percentage are not going to get those jobs back.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's a huge uncertainty. We just don't know. Obviously, hospitality, leisure, hotels, restaurants, bars, I mean, these are the areas that have been negatively impacted the most. And it's really a question of whether or not when states start to reopen and how do they reopen, will they see their customers come back? That's a big question. You know, in Chicago, obviously, people are starting to reopen and, you know, open up bars and restaurants where you can eat out in the street, but, you know, or on the sidewalk. But how many more will come from that? I don't know. So that's a big question mark going forward. And right now, it's just there's a lot of hope. We know the Federal Reserve has been very active in putting out a lot of money. We know Jay Powell is advocating to Congress to extend that unemployment insurance, that extra $600. I think there may be a bonus instead of just giving people the money that you may get a $600 bonus if you go back to work, right? So that would be good to encourage people to go back faster as well. So we'll see. I mean, you know, a lot of uncertainty, Cisco, a lot of uncertainty.
A few moments ago, we talked about these first-time claims for jobless benefits. As far as the continuing claims, the people who are continuing to get unemployment, that number edged down a little bit, 62,000. I mean, you have more than 20 million, so it's still a lot of people.
Right.
But talk about the significance of the fact that that number is even a little bit dipping down.
Yeah, I mean, it again, just like the initial jobless claims, those initial jobless claims get into the get added into the continuing claims. So what we're looking at is the aggregate number of 20 million plus. We also saw some numbers spike from California, Texas, and so on. I'm not talking about infections, but people putting through for jobless claims. So we know there's just so much churn right now. It's really hard to get a perspective. But I would say this, that as all the states begin to reopen, we're going to see people going back to work. And that's the best news I can tell you right now. How it all plays out is really tricky from here. There will be different types of employment that will come back really quickly. Manufacturing, housing, construction, all of that showing, you know, pretty good bounces. The other areas that I talked about are going to be under duress for a little while. But, you know, again, my picture is this, is that we see the snapback. It's not going to be fantastic. It'll be not a V, but more of a swoosh where it's, we go down and then we come back up and then we flatten out for a bit. And then the fall is just such a big question mark.
Thanks so much. Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. He's an economist. You can find him online at andrewbush.com. Just ahead, what's inside a plan by business leaders to reopen Chicago's economy? The Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce has unveiled a formula aimed at reopen the local economy. Joining us with the latest, Greg Hines, a columnist for Crain's Chicago Business. Greg, this is a 26-page report. If you can, give us sort of a thumbnail sketch here of what's being proposed.
Well, there's a lot of different things in there, Cisco, some of which are important, some of which are, I put in the category of wish lists, but the most important seemed to be basically common sense. And the thing, the note that particularly struck hard was people aren't going to want to go back to the office until they feel safe. Safe in the office and safe getting in the office. And I think they're absolutely right on that.
Yeah, when it comes to the downtown area, I mean, I think you and I see this pretty regularly, still a ghost town compared to what it's normally like downtown. And it sounds like these folks are saying, well, until people feel like they can come downtown and go to an office and not get sick, they're going to prefer to stay at home.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about certain things in the office that make sense, providing protective equipment, sanitizing. They go on at some length that maybe instead of having everybody come in and leave at the same time, we'll do shifts, 8 o'clock shift, 9 o'clock shift, 10 o'clock shift, and so forth. That would also help with commuting and the public transportation. They are urging parking garages to offer discounts for a while, so people who are afraid to take the CTA or Metro can do it. I'm urging that it may be easier for people to bicycle, which is great right now. I bike to work, but it's a little more difficult in November, December. And I think, frankly, that the transportation piece is going to be harder to work out. Jack Lavin, who's the head of the chamber, told me that he thinks that they've actually done more than people realize to clean equipment and to keep people spaced out, but they haven't talked about it very much. But I think that that's going to be the single largest piece.
Yeah, the public transit one really fascinates me because it seems like no matter how well they clean the train cars or the buses at night, I mean, 15, 20 minutes into the day, you have all kinds of people getting on and off the buses and the trains.
Yeah, the latest research, Cisco, seems to show that it's not the materials, it's not the grabbing the bars and whatever, it's the physical proximity. It's a bunch of all people cheek to cheek and jowl to jowl breathing at each other. That's a problem, and I frankly don't know how they're going to solve it yet, and I don't think they do know.
Well, they need a certain number of people to make it worth it. I mean, you can't have trains with 10 people in a car.
Yeah. Indeed. There's some other stuff in the report that's worth talking about, some of which is going to be a bit of a stretch. For instance, they want real property tax reform. That's a translation. Fritz Kagi, county assessor, don't shift the load to us, as he's been preparing to do. They want to clear in the law that they're not they don't have liability if one of their employees gets sick. That's going to be a very controversial idea. They want to go ahead and continue the expansion of O'Hare, which is critical to the city. That'll probably fly, but they're also urging that things like Lincoln Yards and the 78 that have been very controversial because of the big city subsidies, they want those to proceed too. So, you know, like any other big document, there's good parts and there's controversial parts.
And we'll see what ends up sticking. Thanks so much for the insight and analysis, Greg Hines, columnist at Crain's Chicago Business. You can read Greg's take on this at the Crain's website. Ahead, plans are in place to resume horse racing at Arlington Racecourse. It's not going to be the same as before, at least in the short run. Also later in the show, Technology Thursday, an all-electric, hands-free Ford Mustang is on the way.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Arlington Racecourse reached a deal with horsemen to resume operations, but there may be some glitches now. Maybe the races aren't going to get back to it as expected. Let's get the late details. Tony Petrillo is here, general manager of Arlington Racecourse. I guess, Tony, before we get into the nuts and bolts of what it's going to look like to have horse racing back at Arlington again, kind of bring us up to speed on the latest here.
Sure, absolutely. We had been negotiating with the Horsemen's Organization in the presence under the moderation of the Illinois Racing Board. We came out of yesterday's conversations with a deal that just needed to be memorialized in writing and inked. We proceeded to do that. However, at the 11th hour, the Horsemen's Organization raised new issues. And entered new demands into the agreement, which set us back from getting something inked and made some things a little more complicated. So, not having the Illinois Racing Board involved in that process had proved to be kind of a futile arrangement amongst two parties that had a lot of disparity. And we go back into negotiations this afternoon, and if we don't reach an agreement by tomorrow morning, the Racing Board is going to again participate in moderating those discussions with time limitations set to that.
Yeah, so the time limitations, I was going to ask you about that. Does that mean if they get back involved that this could really drag out a lot longer?
No, they set a time limitation of 1 hour tomorrow, and if we don't reach an agreement by that time, the Illinois Racing Board will take action on Arlington International Racecourse plan to reopen. If it's detrimental, it's going to be a bad decision for thousands of people that rely on Arlington Park for jobs and sources of income that provide medical benefits, that provide wages for supplementing retirement incomes and student incomes. It's very much would be a big impact on the surrounding communities as well that rely on Arlington's operation to draw people into the community and service, restaurants, bars, gas stations, the ancillary effect of the economy in the northwest suburbs.
Are you able to talk at all about some of the new issues that have been brought up that you're going to have to go back and negotiate over?
They're kind of complicated, but okay. What they're interested in doing is having some guarantees in ways that we always use forecasting and planning projections. Those are very hard to give any guarantees on because you don't know what the economy is going to be. And there's a resistance to the willingness to react to any of the economic impacts from future race dates that are awarded to Arlington International Racecourse, whereas in the past we have worked collectively to resolve those issues. But the other side's looking for guarantees up front. And that just makes it very impossible to come to a deal.
Very briefly here, Tony, and thanks for being here. What might look different when races are back again?
Well, first thing, there'll be no spectators. So that's going to be something very different. Arlington is a very wide open, very expansive area. And we draw people from within a 25-mile radius and then from other parts of the country and around the Midwest. We have plenty of outdoor seating, restaurants outdoors, but we won't be allowed to have spectators. So that's the biggest difference.
Thanks so much, Tony Petrillo, general manager at Arlington International Racecourse in Arlington Heights.
News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. We'll take a look at what's moving Wall Street today. It's Technology Thursday. We'll tell you which automaker ready to roll out the next step in hands-free driving, why a suburban mayor is defying the governor's anti-COVID-19 order. News we're following, Mayor Lightfoot says the lakefront will reopen on Monday. On the markets, the Dow down 50, the NASDAQ is up 19, the S&P is flat. Oil today is up a little more than 2%. Sunshine, blue skies all day long as we head to a high of 90 degrees. Right now, 86 at O'Hare, 85 Midway, 69 degrees downtown. The U.S. Supreme Court has issued a major ruling on immigration.
The Supreme Court is siding with 650,000 young immigrants immigrants on a ruling that protects these so-called dreamers from deportation. The court ruled the Trump administration broke the law by rescinding the Obama-era DACA program. Chief Justice John Roberts joined liberal justices in ruling against the Trump administration. Steve Dorsey, CBS News, Washington.
Thousands of Chicago residents hit hard financially by the coronavirus pandemic may be able to get some help paying their rent.
The Chicago City Council has approved a measure to set up a $20 million rental assistance fund. It's believed the fund could help 7,500 Chicagoans who are having a tough time paying their rents. They'd be eligible for twice their monthly rent with a $2,500 limit. The council has also approved an eviction protection ordinance. It extends a cooling-off period and requires landlords to try to work out a solution with renters before trying to have them evicted. That could mean a repayment plan or even third-party mediation. Bernie Tafoya, News Radio, 105.9 FM.
If you're working remotely and you have a smart speaker, remember, you can just tell it to play WBBM News Radio for all the latest developments.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Markets are mixed. No significant movement, though. The Dow down 46, NASDAQ up 24, and the S&P up 1 point. Michael Palumbo is here, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk. Mike, what do you see on Wall Street today?
Well, good afternoon, Cisco, and thanks again, as always, for having me on. You know, we have a pretty flat day, but it did start off poorly with the jobs claims number. It came in at 1.5 million. I'm sure you guys have talked about it earlier in the show. But so the market started off poorly, and then just some slightly positive COVID numbers came out. Delta said they're going to add to flights, and the market kind of shook off the job claims and now is basically flat. So, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of these flat days with a lot of volatility in them because, you know, we're waiting on numbers that might not be meaningful for the next month or two until we can start seeing if this virus is going to really come back hard or not.
Now, let's talk about the people who, you know, you have your investors who are in it for the long run, but then you have some who are looking to maybe score some deals because some stocks have been hit really hard. How are those guys impacting the market? Is they're kind of moving in and out, trying to make a quick profit?
Well, yeah, you always have the different types of players with different time horizons. And yeah, there were some people that were, I think, pretty sharp in coming in and buying the airlines when guys like Buffett, who you know, is obviously revered, was selling out of them. And those guys that bought the airlines a month ago are looking at, you know, 100% returns in a month. But I do think, though, these value names, and we called this on my Twitter account. You can follow me on MikePal10. And on Facebook, you can follow Michael J. Palumbo. We talk about this stuff on a daily basis, and we made the call last month that value was the place to be because they just got beaten down too much. And so that was the trade. But I do think now, you know, a month later, it's amazing how quickly markets can react. And now these value stocks have doubled, a lot of them have doubled and tripled. So I am not advocating remaining in pure value anymore. And I think it's a good time to have a good mix of stocks. Our favorite is Coke. We've talked about that on Twitter a lot. But we like a few of the value names too. Madison Square Garden's another one we like. But you know, the airlines have come a long way now. So do they have more to go? What if the virus comes back? I mean, this bet becomes what's going to happen in the fall. Is the virus going to come back strong? Because if it is, the airlines are going to be in trouble. If it doesn't, the airlines are a great bet. Now, you got to become your own epidemiologist to try to figure out what's going to happen coming forward. But I believe I'm cautiously optimistic the numbers will be sanguine and that we will continue to rally slowly in the marketplace. But if I'm wrong and this virus comes back, we're going to have a sell-off. And that's just the way it is right now.
What's also a challenge is the fact that, okay, if the second wave happens, as you were discussing, and as a lot of health officials believe, I'm not sure that the economy is going to react the same way. I'm not sure you're going to have the same business shutdowns, people, you know, completely ending traveling. It seems like we had that, right?
That's a great comment. I just want to say, though, that I firmly believe that we won't reshut things unless things get really bad. You won't see the reclosing. But if you're that marginal airline flyer and the virus numbers start ticking up, are you going to fly? It doesn't matter if they close it down or not. The public is still going to vote with its feet. So even if the virus comes back and we don't reshut, which I think would probably be the right move, it's still going to affect these stocks because people just won't fly. They don't care if it's shut down or not. They're not going to fly. So that's what we have to watch out for, and it'll be interesting to see. It'll play out over the next couple months. Pay attention to hospitalizations and test results, and we'll see. Hopefully I'll be right here and that we will only see a minor bounce back in the virus. If that's the case, then these value names, these airlines are cheap. But you got to watch the data, and the data is coming out, and over the next couple of months, it'll tell us what's going to happen.
Yeah, a lot of uncertainty for sure. Always good insight. Thank you, Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital. Up next, Technology Thursday, a hands-free, all-electric Mustang.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Technology Thursday on the Noon Business Hour. The iconic Ford Mustang will offer something new next year. Are you ready for hands-free highway driving? We're talking with John McElroy, automotive industry analyst, host of Autoline.tv in Detroit. John, I've quite often driven Mustangs, and you usually want to punch it. And the idea of doing that without a hand on the wheel seems a little scary.
It does, but you know, this is technology that's going to be widespread in just a few years. General Motors already has something exactly like this called OnStar that's available on a couple of Cadillac models. Tesla, of course, got there before everybody with what it calls autopilot. But Tesla, you still have to keep your hands on the steering wheel. With OnStar, or what Ford is calling its active drive assist, you don't have to keep your hands on the steering wheel at all. But that's only on divided highways that have been mapped out ahead of time. You can't take this on any single road that you want to.
Now, is the idea hands-free? I mean, you're gonna be able to sort of sit back and do whatever you want in the car, or you still have to pay attention, right?
No, you still have to watch the road, and there's actually a camera in the car that looks at you and makes sure that you're watching the road. I've tried tricking the Cadillac system, you know, putting on sunglasses and not really watching the road, but sort of pretending like the system figures it out. It knows that you're trying to fake it out. And so it will warn you, and if you don't do anything about, you know, paying attention, it will disconnect and the car will start to slow down.
Now, what if I have maybe a printout photo of my face? Can I put that up there and give that a shot? Yeah, I can put it over my face while I'm napping on the way to work.
Yeah.
That's what I can do. Yeah.
I'll bet that does not work. I haven't tried that one, Cisco, but I'll bet it does not work.
Yeah, probably not. So I find it fascinating that you have Ford announcing the electric Mustang, something that no one ever thought would happen. And now they're combining it with this. They're really trying to make this a unique automobile.
No question about it. I mean, look, you know, aside from Tesla, no one's had any success really in selling electric cars. So they all looked at, what's Tesla done? It's got great styling. It's got great performance. It's got all kinds of cool technology like this kind of self-driving. So that's what Ford's going to do with the Mustang Mach-E. It's all electric. It's going to have self-driving. It's going to have so many of the features that Tesla has on its cars, too.
Now, it's all electric, but they're going to have to do something to make it really sound like a Mustang, right?
Well, you know, that's interesting you bring that up. They do have a manufactured sound. You know, something that they pipe into the cabin of the car. It doesn't sound like an engine. I've experienced it. I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of like what you might imagine the acceleration noise of a flying saucer might be.
Well, that doesn't sound very fun at all.
Well, actually, you got to experience it.
Okay.
And if you don't like it, Ford allows you to turn it off. But I'll bet you most people leave it plugged in or turned on because when you're driving a car in total silence, like an electric car, it can be a little bit disconcerting for people. And especially, you know, if you're really hustling the car around, it helps you drive more when you got some sort of audio feedback.
Yeah, it almost feels like the car's not really on if you just hear nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Always good to have you on. John McElroy. Ford is going to release an electric Mustang, and it's going to feature hands-free highway driving. John is an automotive industry analyst. You can find him at autoline.tv. This time tomorrow, Entrepreneur Friday, still to come today, a suburban mayor is defying Governor Pritzker's anti-COVID-19 order.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
One suburban mayor is defying part of Governor Pritzker's anti-COVID-19 order. Orland Park Mayor Keith Peacock is joining us now with the details. Mayor, good to have you here. So tell us what you're doing with some of your businesses.
Thanks for having me. With our businesses, we haven't changed anything with our businesses. What we have done is we have we own a sportsplex, the Village does, and we have opened that partially with social distancing. Our residents really need the ability to work out, whether they have heart conditions or that knee or hip replacements, and they don't have a place to do that. So we've opened that up.
And what does it look like? I mean, you're opening it up and no capacity limits or bigger capacity limits. What does it look like inside?
Members only, no open gym periods like we used to. And then inside we have social distancing with our equipment and with our people. So we've made sure that the machines are 6 feet apart, et cetera.
And are they taking extra steps for cleanliness? I mean, people using equipment and that sort of thing?
We're doing extra sanitary procedures than we would normally do. We're wiping the machines down more frequently, much like what we were doing actually before anything was closed down. We'd already implemented all of that. So we basically went back to doing what we were doing right before things were shut down.
What kind of feedback are you getting from the members who use this Sportsplex?
They're extremely thankful. And we've refunded all the money for the time they weren't able to use it, but they are so happy to have a place to go back and work out. And so the feedback I've received from all of the members has been nothing but positive.
So now you're not doing this with just, any business, anything that's indoors. Talk about what it's like on a local level to maybe have a little opportunity to decide, okay, which things can open at which pace, what can be done safely, and doing that in Orland Park.
Well, I think Wisconsin's a really good example for that, because when they had the judge came down and gave them the power to do that at a local level and essentially declared what the governor was doing to be illegal, you've seen Wisconsin's numbers have continued to go down, and those decisions have been made at a local level, not at the state level. So it shows that it certainly can be done at a local level, because all local officials want to keep people safe and healthy. But they also recognize the balance between that and the businesses, and nobody knows it better. Very hard for the governor to know the entire state from Carbondale all the way up to Chicago and out to the Quad Cities, whereas we all know our individual communities and what's going on there.
Thanks so much for being with us yet again. That is Orland Park Mayor Keith Peacock joining us. They've had one of their sportsplexes now. It's reopened. People are coming there, members only, but they're still doing things to try to keep people safe. If you missed any part of today's show, you can just go to our stream and skip back to the time you want. There is a pause and rewind function. It works both online and with the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.